But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Through these 6 weeks of the Epiphany season, you and I have seen the life of our incarnate Lord making its way into the world's life. As his life pushes in on the world's people, we have noticed that some of the people are responding eagerly to him, while others are waving him off. We also have noticed that the world's life, for all its attractive promises, is trapped in itself and is under the domination of the unholy trio, sin, Satan, death. What has been occurring in these 6 weeks then is the growing realization that the life being brought to this world by our Lord is markedly different from and far superior to the life offered by the world. Such a realization is drawn out clearly in today's gospel. This is an intriguing passage because it is much like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that's in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This section from Luke, verses 17 through 49 of chapter 6, is known as Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Today's passage comes immediately after Jesus has chosen his 12 apostles. In its teaching, our Lord addresses many of the beliefs that were current among the faithful Jews of that day. The Old Testament background for his teaching in this passage is seen clearly in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Leviticus 26 is the concluding part of the holiness code that ranges from chapter 17 through 26. And in that code, the Lord is addressing his people through his spokesperson, Moses. This code, interestingly and strikingly, reminds people that the holy God has come to live in the middle of sinful people. Deuteronomy 28 is the conclusion of Moses' second address to the people. He calls them to alertness by announcing the blessings that flow from obedience to the Lord God and the curses that emerge from disobedience to him. This Old Testament background positions you and me well to now step into our Lord's sermon. As was noted, he is coming down from the mountain with his 12 apostles. Biblically, remember that mountains always serve as pointers to the presence of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is standing with a great crowd that includes not only his disciples and followers, but people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast towns of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, this is a very extensive geographical area. They've come to hear our Lord and to be healed of their diseases. Those who are troubled with unclean spirits are being cured, and everyone in the crowd is trying to touch him. How come? Because his power is radiating from him and healing all of them. Then Jesus says to the disciples, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Remember that poor is not just an economic reality. It describes one's dependency on the Lord God. "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." Eating from the world's life offers only temporary satisfactions. The Lord's life offers permanency. "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." The stresses of the world life trigger all sorts of suffering and affliction. That's why the messes exist around us. However, the Lord's life frees you and me from those stresses. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, when they revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. This harassment is not triggered by our personalities, so we can thank God for that. But they are triggered because we have been drawn into the Lord's life. And as a person lives more fully in their baptism rather than in the world, this harassment will occur because we're not doing what the world wants us to do. We're not getting with the program. Our Lord says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven." Both the day and the joy are realities coming from eternity into the present life. And this hating, excluding, reviling, and defaming is what has always been done to the Lord's people, reaching as far back as the Old Testament. These four blessings remind us how rich that word is biblically. And we should notice that it describes the joy, again, that word from eternity, that comes to the person who has been pulled into the life of the Holy Trinity. Thus, because the word now is used almost as often as those initials OMG, this word reaches far beyond all the definitions that we in our culture attempt to put on it. Our Lord continues, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Woe is a word from eternity describing the never-ending separation from the Holy Trinity. And rich points to those in the world who are able to improve their economic situation, but then conclude that they alone made this reach possible. "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." Full describes those who have feasted exclusively on what the world offers and, frankly, are quite satisfied with what has happened. "Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep." Laughter is describing those who believe they have the ability to overcome or avoid any difficulty that they may encounter. "Woe to you when all speak well of you." Again, this speaking well means that everything is focused on the self, because this is the core of the world's life. This speaking well among us in the world not only covers what is false and wrong in our lives, it also expands our self-centering and self-asserting, because as we say to one another, it makes us feel good. Again, these four woes remind us how rich the word is from a biblical perspective. What it does here, it unpacks what happens when the gods of this world crowd out the real Lord God, pushing him to the side of or away from an individual's life. Those unreal gods unloaded on Jesus when the Father sent him to the world to redeem its people from their self-wrapping. And those same unreal gods unload on Jesus' people when we attempt to reflect and carry his life into this world. While the world was created by the Lord God to be excellent, and its people were brought into being to fully live in relationships with him, the unholy trio of sin, Satan, and death are committed to disrupting the Lord's intent. They will do all they can to mess our efforts up. That's why today's passage is clarifying our vision as the Lord's people and toughening us up for the work that you and I were baptized to do. It is clear that overwhelming blessings stream in on those who struggle to be obedient to the Lord who has redeemed them, even when such blessings seem to be non-existent or hidden. However, it is also clear that overwhelming woes stream in on those who easily follow obedience to one's self. And these woes are unbelievably cruel to the world's people. C.S. Lewis commented that they insist that if we have enough money, we can purchase all kinds of happiness and have a satisfactory life. It doesn't work, does it? Again, from C.S. Lewis. Or if we have good upbringing and intelligence, health and popularity, we can be satisfied with ourselves just the way we are. Again, another lie. There is so much cruelty and tragedy in these conclusions because they crowd out the real Lord God from people's lives and then offer these crummy substitutes from the gods of this world. And the people who are so wrapped up in themselves have no idea of where their lives are headed or of the deadly emptiness waiting to swallow them up. They are caught in a destructive trap and just don't have a clue. That's why our task, even though it's difficult, but as the Lord's baptized people, is to live among such individuals and then let the Trinity's life radiate through all that we are and do. Although we are baptized and although we struggle to be faithful to our Lord and our God, you and I cannot just barge into the world's messes and the lives of such individuals with simple prescriptions like, oh, take some ibuprofen and things will improve. Instead, we take the time, and sometimes it's longer than we anticipate because the Lord's clocks and the Lord's calendars don't match ours. But we take the time to remember how our Lord rescued us, you and me, from the terrifying realities of being too wrapped up in ourselves. The Lord, and we don't totally understand this, but he lets us find that wrapping on our own. And then he steers us graciously to the holy places of his scriptures and his sacraments. And then it begins to dawn on us that these places were already significant in the lives of the people around us. And usually they were older and more mature than we are. And remember, you and I are not in this liturgy at 10:30 on a Sunday morning because our lives are roaring successes. We are here, to be totally honest, because we are continually finding out, sometimes in painful ways, how dependent we are on the real Lord God and how vital it is for you and me to be in his presence. May our Lord continue to stir and sustain us as we reflect and carry the Lord's life to this world, making it possible for others who are trapped in their self-absorption to be freed and to be rescued. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.